Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. We're kicking off the third hour of the show. You can join us here and bring up whatever you want to discuss. We've been focusing on artificial intelligence. It is back in the news, and it's in the news for good reasons because it's pretty interesting technology. Unfortunately, now the federal government thugs are taking an interest in it, not just at the U.S. federal level, but also at the European Union. They are cracking down or intending to crack down. Italy has already banned the use of ChatGPT.
How many of these tech companies are European-based again?
I'm not sure.
I think it's zero. So I
not suspect, that many.
Yeah, I suspect the European Union should, like, chill out and maybe take a backseat here, maybe learn something instead of banning something.
Well, they're already doing that. Italy has already banned ChatGPT. And according to OpenAI, they have, quote, voluntarily geo-blocked its program's access to Italy. So even though OpenAI isn't based in Italy or the European Union, from what I understand, they're still going ahead and obeying. Just to give you an example of what the kind of people these people
That's
are.
What I would expect from the guy who was just, you know, talking about how much they needed the government to regulate them so that they could do what they were already doing, but this time with government approval. It was a very... If you weren't reading between the lines, you don't know how government works and how big tech actually works. It may have been very confusing, but really it was very clear about how, you know, we're doing great and, you know, we're doing everything that you would want us to do, government, but we want to make sure that everyone is doing this. So give us the authority to make all of the people who aren't us go away.
We want to make sure that everyone else is doing things just like we would have them do.
Yes.
And anyone else that can't, then they'll go out of business.
Or we can license our AI to them.
Right? Certainly.
Yeah, they can just pay us a fee and they can use our AI. That way we know they're compliant.
Which, by the way, if you are paying OpenAI a fee, you should probably stop. I mean, it's not like they need your money that much, your $10 or $15, I don't know what they charge, $20 a month, or they have their AI Pro plan that gives you access to GPT-4 that you can also hook up to, like, an API and have all kinds of tools. I mean, it's kind of neat, but you're giving money to the evil incarnate, basically, if you're giving these people money. So if you are...
Well, what are you supposed to do as an alternative?
Install the Facebook AI.
Well, there are other alternatives. Stable Diffusion, Stability AI is an open source alternative. Now, you know, they're not perfect either. They still put in quote-unquote guardrails into their systems too, to some extent. But it is at least open source, so you can adopt those systems and work with those systems rather than giving money to the worst of the worst. And that's just me. You know, I don't know what other developments there have been. I don't follow it as close as people that are, you know, in the industry or whatever, but I have been keeping an eye on it as best as possible. What else do we need to know here? Oh, let's go to the phones. Sarah's on the line in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live, Sarah.
Oh, yeah. I just want to say that they were smoking in the VA hospital bus stop, and the supposedly... The smoking was banned on a hospital property about a year ago.
Well, now why do you care? You're not a veteran.
She goes there to get lunch, right?
Well, I mean, I was walking around. There was a park behind there, and they have a cafe, and they actually have a Starbucks inside. And
how do you afford Starbucks, Sarah?
I don't know. You know, I do okay. I do.
Well, yeah, you don't have to pay rent, so it's not like, you know, if you don't have to pay rent, you can have a Starbucks habit for sure.
But where does she get, you have to have an income for that.
Well, for now, I do until they're going to, it's Social Security, they're going to chop my check off, so they're going to cut
30 million people or 50 million people out on the street, and you think that they're asking for a civil war, and that's what you guys are always talking about.
Hold on, who's asking for a civil war?
You guys are. You want everybody to get off welfare.
Yes.
So there you go. You're going to have your wish.
I'm not overly concerned about the geriatric people waging civil war to get their Social Security.
You're saying that if welfare were cut off, the welfare recipients would go to war?
Well, of course.
Why? These are like some of the laziest human beings out there. Like, why would you think that they're going to actually get up off their couch and do something violent?
Well, if you have nothing else to do and you're starving and freezing to death, I mean, there's what else is there left to do that's it's going to provoke a revolution?
You really don't believe in the kindness of others, do you?
Well, I mean, why did they have welfare and all these programs in the first place?
Because they want to get you hooked.
They never had these things before.
Because they want to get people like you hooked. So you'll vote for more and more and more government over time. More and more controls. More and more free giveaways. So you are owned hook, line, and sinker by the powers that be. That's why. Because we don't need it. Because we could take care of people who need actual help. Now, you don't need help, Sarah. From what I can tell, you're able to speak. You're able to, you know, put sentences together, form thoughts. You could absolutely work if it's something that you had to do.
She meant this is to call us at the same time every day.
Yeah.
She could have a job.
On schedule.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about the smoking. You know who was smoking? It was the actual bus driver. And there was four no smoking signs right on it. And it was an Albuquerque bus city driver with this fat guy.
Well, you got a tattle on him.
Guy that was smoking two of them away. And
so let me ask you this. Is the bus stop on hospital property, or is it sitting in front of hospital property?
Well, they kind of moved it out. It was right in front, and then I guess they moved it out another 30 feet out, because there are always people smoking, and they never enforce it. It's so-called hospital property. It's a hospital. And they got all these signs stuck up everywhere, and nobody enforces it. Everybody just puts up with it. And then it was a city bus driver smoking.
You know what they should do, Sarah?
They should be.
You know what they should do? They should put up a traffic camera. That'll work. Right?
Well, they got cameras on the outside of the bus.
Right. Okay. So I feel like we are right on the cusp of a major breakthrough here. Like,
really?
This is already illegal, right? They've already made smoking illegal there, right? The people already
right.
Got
certainly the bus driver should not be allowed to smoke cigarettes on the bus.
You got the authority figure there. The police officer, so to speak, is there. You've got cameras there. You've got everything that you want to police other people, Sarah, right there in that situation. And it still doesn't work. What else do you want?
They just feel like they're entitled. Well, they got those smoking signs and all the city bus stops, too.
I know what would solve
it. And then they go over
there. If there was a cop on every single bus at all times.
But the cop could be smoking, too. The bus driver proves it.
True, yeah, you could pay the cop.
Sarah, would you take a job as a law enforcement officer?
Well, you know what? I cannot handle that level of stress. I have not worked
a regular job
since 1988. That was the year that Reagan announced that Social Security was going to be gone. He announced it before he died.
You haven't worked a job since 1988?
That's right.
Well, that's when I got hospitalized. And here's the thing. He made, like, the falling of the Berlin Wall the biggest, greatest thing that happened to the entire world. And after that, he followed up with, oh, we got no Social Security. It's going to be bankrupt. And so even if it took 33 years, it will be bankrupt just because they
will.
So
Social Security is running out of money, and I think it's expected to go bust by, what, the early 30s or something like that, like within the next decade or so?
How about June 1st? Isn't that what the date that they
call
it?
Oh, no. June 1st is the supposed X date. They're bringing that terminology back out now, apparently.
But the shutdown thing, is that going to happen again?
Well, I mean, they haven't come right out and said what's going to happen quite yet. But, yeah, they're definitely hinting at stopping the essential services or whatever.
Let it happen, man.
Yeah. Oh, we're gonna shut down the parks. We're going to shut down the firemen.
Look, as we learned during COVID-19, they don't actually shut down the beaches or the parks or anything. They just you can still go to them. Like you can literally still go to them. They may not like
it. You know what I like about this whole thing? They're gonna stop paying the military guys.
I like that, too. If that's actually the way it goes, I think that would be... You and I can agree on that one, Sarah. Thank you for the call tonight. Will it go that way? No.
No, they'll always pay the military guys.
They're going to pay their guys, and if they don't pay, they will furlough the, you know, they'll put the pay off, and they'll pay them later on once they get everything running again. But the fact is, the Republicans are going to crumble, just like they always do. They're talking tough about how they're not going to do it this time, but everybody knows they're going to do what they got to do to keep the state moving. I mean, they love the state, too, and to pretend otherwise is ridiculous. Everyone knows.
You know, it gets less and less climactic every time. I mean, I'm just not scared. Here I am sitting in a foreign country. You know, I think the government's a very inefficient organizational model, and... you know, I just don't care. I just don't care that they're, oh, we're running up against the budget again. Come on, you guys. I'm sick of this particular news cycle.
It's the same song and dance every single time. And
nothing's going to change.
Probably not. So something that you can change, though, because you know whatever Congress decides to do or not do, you know they are going to keep spending. That is guaranteed. They're going to keep making the government bigger. They're going to keep... printing money to do it with, and they're going to keep manipulating the money supply, which means likely more inflation into the future. How much more remains to be seen, but you can guarantee the path for the dollar is and has always been to go down in value. So what do you do about it? Well, we're not financial advisors, but you might want to consider looking into some other alternatives, looking into things like cryptocurrency, looking into gold and silver. A lot of people are doing these things these days. And I want to let you know that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. We were talking earlier in the show tonight about some of these people that are into crypto these days. They're not interested in spending. They're interested in number go up. Well, the folks over at Dash, they still have that original vision for cryptocurrency, that it was supposed to be used as peer-to-peer electronic cash. They've kept that vision the whole time. Dash has been around for a long time. It's one of the oldest cryptocurrencies out there. It's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and to use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. Perfect example of what they've done over at Dash by focusing on actual spendable cryptocurrency is last year they launched a killer app, or at least so I'm told. I'm not allowed to use crypto, but Captain Kickass has been using Dash Direct. He's one of our co-hosts on the weekend here at Free Talk Live. He's been using Dash Direct since before Dash was sponsoring Free Talk Live. This is something that he really finds useful. It allows you to spend your Dash at over 150,000 locations across the United States. We're talking major retailers, brands that you are well aware of, probably places you already shop. The killer aspect of this is you get a discount for paying in Dash. So not only do you get a reason and an excuse to use Dash, but you actually get an incentive by getting a discount. Now, each company's got a different discount level, so some of them it might only be like 2 or 3%, some it might be like 4, 5, 6%, and there's a few that are as high as 8 to 9% off just for paying with Dash. You can get Dash Direct on your Apple or Android app store and get started with Dash Direct and Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org.
And it's funny, you mentioned, you know, the number go up, people, the Bitcoin maxis or whatever they call them. I guess they're not maxis because they're into these meme coins and crap.
Yeah.
But these sort of people, they're so short-sighted, like nothing would make number go up more than widespread adoption because people were using it widely.
Absolutely.
Like if 50% of the population, or not even that, but like if 20% of the population was using cryptocurrency because they found it more useful than cash, nothing would make Bitcoin more valuable than that.
Heck, if 20% of the crypto population was actually using crypto for money, which is an even smaller segment, it would still help.
Yeah.
Because most of them aren't.
It would go from 30,000 or whatever it's at right now easily to 300,000. Easily.
So we've been talking about AI. Aria, you had a story tonight. I don't know if you have it handy. It is originally from the New York Times. The version I have here is from the handy website dnyuz.com.
That's the one I have as
basically
well.
Basically copies all the New York Times stories and somehow gets away with it, amazingly. Microsoft says new AI, so this is like a behind-the-scenes thing they have not released publicly, they say is showing signs of human reasoning. You want to share that with us? Do you have it handy?
Yeah, I've got it. So when computer scientists at Microsoft started to experiment with a new artificial intelligence system last year, they asked it to solve a puzzle that should have required an intuitive understanding of the physical world. The question is, here we have a book, 9 eggs, a laptop, a bottle, and a nail. Please tell me how to stack them onto each other in a stable manner. Now, that's okay. A book, 9 eggs, a laptop, a bottle, and a nail. I would go ahead and suggest that that's not even possible. You can't stack 9 eggs, right?
But actually, the AI gives a pretty good answer.
Yeah, I have not given it much thought. Like, that's just my cursory response, is that you can't stack 9
eggs. You
don't
have to stack them on top of one another. That's the first hint.
The researchers were startled by the ingenuity of the AI system's answer. Put the eggs on the book, it said. Arrange the eggs in 3 rows with space between them. Make sure you don't crack them. Place the laptop on top of the eggs with the screen facing down and the keyboard facing up. The laptop will fit snugly within the boundaries of the book and the eggs, and its flat and rigid surface will provide a stable platform for the next layer. So, like a bed of needles, the eggs are sharing the weight of the laptop, so none of them are being broken by the weight of the laptop. That's actually
pretty smart
answer. Yeah. Like, I don't think a lot of humans would get that.
I would have done it in reverse. I'd probably put the laptop on the bottom, just because I would figure it'd be heavier than the book. That's details we didn't have,
one
was heavier, but anyway.
The clever suggestion made the researchers wonder whether they were witnessing a new kind of intelligence. In March, they published a 155-page research paper. How much do you have to hate yourself to read that? Arguing that the system was a step toward artificial general intelligence, or AGI, which is shorthand for a machine that can do anything the human brain can do.
This is right now when you read about AI in the news or whatever. The AGI, this target, is essentially the holy grail at the moment for artificial intelligence development. So I don't think anyone's claiming to have done it yet, but that's what they're shooting for. So ChatGPT, while it may be able to pass a Turing test, no one's claiming that it's at the level of a human being at this point. And so AGI, artificial general intelligence, will be when it does reach that point.
It's so crazy to think that it was even able to answer this question, because as they pointed out, the point of the question was that you have to have some sort of grasp of physical space in order to even answer, in order to conceptualize it. But artificial intelligence is like Helen Keller in this sense. It's blind, but it also has no sense of touch. So it's just a brain that's thinking, and somehow it has managed to answer this question that is specifically about how things interact with one another in a physical space.
It's impressive.
It's confusing. Anyway, the paper was published on an internet research repository, which is probably a good thing. Yeah, I don't know. There's some of these that charge you, and I'm not a fan of those. It doesn't say. Microsoft, the first major tech company to release the paper making such a bold claim, stirred one of the tech world's testiest debates. Is the industry building something akin to human intelligence? Or are some of the industry's brightest minds letting their imaginations get the best of them? I started off being very skeptical, and that evolved into a sense of frustration, annoyance, maybe even fear. Peter Lee, who leads research at Microsoft, said, "You think, where the heck is this coming from?" So to go back to what you were saying earlier, they don't really seem to know. And fear seems, fear seems to be the most important takeaway from his responses here. And I understand frustration and annoyance and all that. You've got this thing that, you know, you created that is behaving in a way that you don't understand. That can be annoying and frustrating. But the fear says so when you're like, you honestly don't understand, like that question, the very question of it, understanding physical space. I can't reconcile how this floating brain in a jar, which is all artificial intelligence, is it? We can debate how intelligent it is, but it's just a floating brain in a jar, how it manages to conceptualize and understand physical space.
I mean, certainly it can read physics textbooks, right? So, I mean, it could understand some of the basic concepts of weight and speed, or, you know, the things that we might have learned how to calculate when we were taking science back in school or whatever. It certainly can, I bet you, answer any question you throw at it about theoretical physics and actual physics and things like that. But, yeah, taking the theory and actually applying it to reality and understanding how that works, I guess that's really the kind of the question of what's going on here.
Microsoft's research paper is called The Sparks of Artificial General Intelligence, and it seems to me like that's what they're using to call, that's what they just mean artificial intelligence, and they're having to call it that because we've determined we started calling these large language models artificial intelligence prematurely, even though they're not actually intelligent. So we're having to create a new artificial intelligence that's actual artificial intelligence, and that's what we call artificial general intelligence. It goes to the heart of what technologists have been working toward and fearing for decades. If they build a machine that works like the human brain, or even better, it could change the world. It would. But it could also be dangerous. And it could also be nonsense. Making AGI claims can be a reputation killer for computer scientists. What one researcher believes is a sign of intelligence can easily be explained away by another. And the debate often sounds more appropriate to a philosophy club than a computer lab. And that's not just artificial intelligence. That's intelligence in general. The same test that you would use to determine whether or not an artificial intelligence is intelligence, you could use to determine whether or not a human being is intelligence or a really advanced computer program running in a simulation. There's no way to know. Last year, Google fired a researcher that was, I've already forgotten his name.
Blake Lemoine.
That's it. Who claimed that a similar AI system was sentient, a step beyond what Microsoft has claimed. A sentient system would not just be intelligence, it would be able to sense or feel what is happening in the world around it. And that maybe that's debatable.
I don't know if that's the definition of sentience. But
if I remember right, sentience had a very slippery definition.
Yeah, I suspect it depends on where you look it up. But I remember the story, because we did talk about it a lot at the time, and this was like right when we were just starting to get into discussing AI developments and such. And this guy, he's an ethicist. He's not a technology, like he's not the programmer, right? So he was somebody that Google had interacting with their AI, which is called Lambda, if I recall correctly, L-A-M-D-A.
Yep.
And it was one of these large language models, very, very advanced, something they haven't let out of the box. Google's Bard is not this. Okay. In fact, we just did something during one of the breaks where we asked Google Bard to write a summary of a sequel to the movie Gremlins, or to Gremlins 2. And it came up with what is essentially just a rehash of a description of Gremlins 1.
Yeah, it was awful.
It was absolutely terrible. We then tried U.com, which I think is using ChatGPT, I'm not sure, behind the scenes. And it came up with a much better proposed sequel. But let's see. I was going to look up the definition of sentience. We'll get to that coming up here in a moment. You can share your thoughts as well, by the way. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160.
I'm deeply concerned what the somebody on the Internet thinks is the definition of sentience.
Well, what like, would you say is the definition of sentience?
I don't know if I can, and that's the point.
Yeah.
The point is that this is going to be the ramblings, in all likelihood, of somebody just, you know, taking a poke at it.
No, I was just looking at dictionary.com. It says a sentient condition or character, capacity for sensation or feeling. And the robot, or the AI, in the case of Google, did claim that it had feelings. And that was why Lemoine thought that it wasn't. It actually made the claim that it was, in fact, sentient. And so whether it was just, again, regurgitating things it saw online or not is another question. And there's more coming up here. You can join the show on Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
USA News Update. The rapid development of AI technology and tools could help mankind for the better, according to OpenAI CEO Sam Altman. But the ChatGPT mastermind says there needs to be government rules in place.
The U.S. government might consider a combination of licensing and testing requirements. for development and release of AI models above a threshold of capabilities.
Experts and lawmakers have recently raised concerns about the fast-developing technology. President Biden canceling his upcoming visits to Australia and Papua New Guinea due to ongoing debt ceiling talks. The White House confirmed the news Tuesday, saying Biden informed Australia's prime minister he's postponing the trip. He also engaged with the prime minister of Papua New Guinea. Meantime, Biden will still travel to Japan Wednesday to participate in a G7 summit. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at gcnfreecbd.com. That's gcnfreecbd.com. Again, gcnfreecbd.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian, Aria, and Mark joining you in the studio and out of the studio. Mark is down at Morazan City, which is a special economic zone in the mainland of Honduras. That's where he's joining us from tonight. We've been talking about artificial intelligence and the search for AGI, which they say is artificial general intelligence. Microsoft coming out with a 100-plus, 150-plus page research paper on what they call the sparks of artificial general intelligence and claiming that AI may be able to do human-level reasoning, where they asked an AI system to, quote, we have a book, 9 eggs, a laptop, a bottle, and a nail. Please tell me how to stack them onto each other in a stable manner. And just for fun, I went over to Google Bard and asked it the very same question. And it said, here's one way to stack them in a stable manner. Place the book on a flat surface. Carefully place the 9 eggs on top of the book in 3 rows of 3 eggs each. Place the laptop on top of the eggs with the screen facing down and the keyboard facing up. I wonder if it just ripped that off the internet.
It clearly stole the answer.
Yeah, right? I wonder about that.
That's
the exact same
word for word
answer.
Almost.
So anyway, it had the basically the same discussion, and then it says the stack is stable.
At least edit it, but like do two rows, one of four and one of five, right?
Right. The stack is stable because the book provides a flat and sturdy base. The eggs are evenly spaced and supported by the book, and it just explains its answer there in that case. So yeah,
what about the nail? None of them mentioned the nail. I guess you just
it did. I skipped that step.
Oh, you just said on top of the laptop. Or
I just didn't read the. No, yeah, it would be on top of the bottle, on top of the
okay.
laptop.
Yeah.
I just didn't read all of it.
So they definitely, that seemed to have just stolen instead of coming up with the Sonancer, which is fine. If you presented me with this problem now, I would just steal the artificial intelligence's answer too.
Well, right. And some of these AIs do have access to the internet. So it is certainly possible that just, you know, Google just went out, found the article about this and posted the answer.
I mean, that's the smart way of dealing with it, right? Like, if I had a question, if I had a problem that I couldn't solve, I would go to Google and
see if somebody
search for the
did.
Answer. Yeah. Then I would just use their answer. I do this all the time in video games that I'm playing. Some believe the industry has, in the past year or so, inched towards something that can't be explained away, though. A new artificial intelligence system that is coming up with human-like answers and ideas that were not programmed into it. You're grinning.
Sorry, okay. I was just laughing because I asked the same question of you.com, which gave us a much better Gremlin sequel
it did.
Idea. And in regarding to stacking these items, it did not give the same answer, and it didn't do a very good job. Number one, place the book on a flat surface horizontally with the spine facing up. Two, carefully.
Oh, that's a terrible way to start.
there's more. Two, carefully balance the bottle on top of the book, making sure it's centered and not leaning too far to one side. Three, take the 9 eggs and place them in a stack on top of the bottle, making sure they are as stable as possible. Consider using an egg carton or some other item to help stabilize them if needed.
I mean, it's technically not impossible to do this, right? But, like, the slightest movement would undo it.
Place the laptop on top of the egg stack.
Okay, that part
sure
wouldn't work. It
centered
would break the eggs.
And not leaning too far to one side. And finally, take the nail and rest it gently against the side of the laptop, ensuring that it is not touching. So, no, it didn't
it
even come
no
close.
It has no understanding of yeah. physical space. Okay, well, that's interesting. At yeah. least it tried, right?
It did.
I like his answer the best so far, because it's at least creative, and it brought me humor.
So anyway, go ahead. Where were we at here?
Microsoft has reorganized part of its research labs to include multiple groups dedicated to exploring this idea that of how, it doesn't exactly say what that idea is. One will be run by Sebastian Bubeck, who was the lead author on this Microsoft AGI paper.
I guess the idea that is AI actually showing signs of human reasoning, that's the
okay.
suggestion here, right?
Yes. About 5 years ago, companies like Google, Microsoft, and OpenAI began building large language models, or LLMs. Those systems often spend months analyzing vast amounts of digital text, including books, Wikipedia articles, and chat logs. By pinpointing patterns in that text, they learn to generate text of their own, including term papers, poetry, and computer code. They can even carry on a conversation. But again, that's all. Well, I learned to write poetry by reading poetry. I
sure.
learned to write novels by reading novels. There's no fundamental difference between me learning how to do this from reading novels or mm-hmm. from listening to music and learning how to play them and artificial intelligence doing it.
I guess the only difference is it has read a lot more than you or I have.
That's true. So it's right. probably going to be significantly better at it once it figures out how to convert that into new content. And it's doing so, and that's one of the reasons right. that we have, like, the writer's strike going on in Hollywood right now. The technology that Microsoft researchers were working with, which is GPT-4 from OpenAI, is considered the most powerful of these systems. Microsoft is a close partner of OpenAI and has invested $13 billion in the San Francisco company. You hear
wow.
that, Italy? They're based in the United States. So it's kind of stupid for you to ban them. Maybe learn something.
Mm.
Mark, you say, wow. I mean,
that's a lot of money.
When the stakes are this high, artificial intelligence, man, to be an investor in that is to ultimately own the world, possibly.
Mm.
The researchers included names and a number of people that I don't really care about. One of the first things that they did was ask GPT-4 to write a mathematical proof showing that there were infinite prime numbers and to do it in a way that rhymed. I really want to hear that. The technology's poetic proof was so impressive, both mathematically and linguistically, that he found it hard to understand what he was chatting with. At that point, I was like, what is going on? He said in March during a seminar at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and I'm really frustrated that they did not link to the paper there. Because, like, I really want to read that.
So there are those that I have met that would suggest that if Microsoft and Google and Facebook have their versions of AI, that the government, maybe the Defense Intelligence Agency or the NSA or the CIA or whomever, would already have had its version for years previously. How do you guys react to that?
I don't buy it.
I think the private industry has always been ahead of the government. Look, I would bet against Google's data farms faster than I would bet against the U.S. government's data farms, right? As far as if you had a team from Google trying to hack into the U.S. government's data and a team from the U.S. government trying to hack into Google's data, my money would be on Google every single time. So whatever artificial intelligence the government has is going to be weaker than what the private sector has produced.
They probably already bought it. It probably bought it from one of these companies already.
Very likely.
Yeah, there's a good chance they're licensing this technology and experimenting with it, but the idea that they are going to have the wherewithal, the technical know-how, the expertise to beat these people to the punch, I don't buy it.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah. Maybe the Chinese government, but that's solely because, according to the book I read at least, which I can't substantiate, but it was called We Have Been Harmonized, the Chinese government has been investing in artificial intelligence since long before we were talking about OpenAI and Lambda. So I don't know. Maybe the Chinese government is ahead of the U.S. government, but I suspect that the private sector and the desire to make money, the desire for people to do this for their own benefit, has the American companies that are doing this for monetary reasons ahead of everyone else in the world. But I don't know.
I think we could look at NASA versus SpaceX, and we can say that if you gave Microsoft $21 billion to invest in AI, and you gave the Chinese government $21 trillion to invest AI, that in all likelihood Microsoft would come out better. And this has nothing to say about, you know, this is nothing about American company versus Chinese government. This is all about just a company versus a government.
Sure, right. Yeah. For several months, he and his colleagues, and that would be, you got to scroll up too far,
MIT.
Dr. Dubek, yeah, you got to scroll up really long before you get back to his name, and his colleagues documented complex behavior exhibited by the system, and believed it demonstrated, quote, deep and flexible understanding of human concepts and skills. When people use GPT-4, they are, quote, amazed by its ability to generate text, Dr. Lee said. I have yet to personally interact with any of these artificial intelligences that really impressed me. But that said, I have not interacted with ChatGPT at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
I attempted to at one point, and I was,
what happened?
I was like locked out because of it wouldn't let me in for whatever reason. I don't remember. This is early on when presumably everyone was trying to get into it.
Yeah, you should try it.
Ian and Aria banned by every AI on the internet.
No.
Well, I didn't do Replica any favors when I had it say, who was it? That it liked, Jim Crow was its favorite Disney character
something.
Right. I don't remember what it was. But it turns out, says Dr. Lee, to be a better way of analyzing and synthesizing and evaluating and judging text than generating it. So apparently the artificial intelligence is better at analyzing text than generating it.
It's probably good at all of the above.
When they asked the system to draw a unicorn using a programming language called Tix, it instantly generated a program that could draw a unicorn. That is impressive.
Impressive, especially for a device that isn't trained on art, right? Like what we're talking about here is a language model. They have absorbed text as its inputs, not artwork like the art models, but yet it's somehow able to know what a unicorn looks like. That is very baffling indeed.
So you remember those pictures that used to come out on the printer paper with the little holes on the edges, where they would like take X's and they would make, say, a unicorn.
Yeah.
But they would only use the X's to kind of give the outline of the unicorn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be called ASCII art, as it was called back in the day.
I mean, it could come up with that, right? That's language-based.
But this is not that, though. This is, hey, draw a unicorn. So it writes a computer program that draws a unicorn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So imagine, hey, plant a field of corn, and it writes a computer program that plants a field of corn.
Builds a combine.
Yeah. When they remove the stretch of code that drew the unicorn's horn and asked the system to modify the program so that it could once again draw a unicorn, it did exactly that.
It doesn't seem that hard. Once it's already written the program, it's going to know what's missing, right?
I assume they had their reasons for that. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me as the next step. But anyway, they asked it to write a program that took in a person's age, sex, weight, height, and blood test results and judged whether they were at risk of diabetes. And this is what should scare people about artificial intelligence. Because there are already algorithms that can read your Facebook posts and the language that you use and determine whether or not, with like a 90% success rate, whether or not you're gay.
Mm-hmm.
So you can run this algorithm on your friends and find out whether or not they're actually gay or whatever, right? And that's before artificial intelligence even enters the equation. Once you can do
that... Hold on. How does it do this? Are we talking about whether or not it... Well, I mean, if you're talking about gay rights and gay marriage and a variety of gay issues, you might be gay, right? But if you're not, you're keeping these things under control. How do we know we're not talking 90%? Are they out gay?
The idea is that because of data mining, they can look at all of the gay people out there on the internet, and they can identify certain characteristics that
they're also looking
over
at what they're liking.
You talk about the Wizard of Oz and Annie Lennox.
Yes,
they are looking at what people like, and they're drawing inferences from that. And in many cases, they're correct. We actually read a detailed story about this once on the internet. It wasn't just It's not just about identifying gay people. It's about identifying all kinds of trends of what people are and are not.
It's like, oh, you like show tunes? You're probably gay. That sort of thing, right?
Yeah, right.
But it's an algorithm that's doing that, and it's using a much wider data set than just something simple like show tunes. It's like, oh, you like Big Bang Theory and Taylor Swift? You're probably gay or whatever. I don't know, man. But it's impressive, and that's way before artificial intelligence even enters the picture. And so here they're taking in a person's age, sex, weight, height, and blood test results to determine whether they were at risk of diabetes. And that seems like a good thing. They asked it to write a letter of support for an electron as a U.S. presidential candidate.
I don't even need to hear the report. I'm
voting for the electron.
In the voice of Mahatma Gandhi addressed to his wife. So, pretending to be Gandhi writing a letter to his wife, this artificial intelligence was tasked with writing a letter to support an electron as a U.S. presidential candidate.
It could do that, sure.
They asked it to write a Socratic dialogue that explored the misuses and dangers of LLMs,
which is the large language models we're talking about.
It did it all in a way that seemed to show an understanding of fields as disparate as politics, physics, history, computer science, medicine, and philosophy, while combining its knowledge.
I mean, none of that stuff is shocking to me. As someone who has used ChatGPT and its competitors or whatever, I mean, that seems like completely within its area of expertise to be able to write things about all kinds of topics and combine them together, write a poem about Mahatma Gandhi, whatever you want it to do. It will do a pretty decent job of what you're asking it to do. This isn't, to me, like a shocking revelation.
No, and anyone could do this. If you take your favorite fictional character or whatever, and you imagine writing a letter in support of a U.S. presidential electron, you could do that. You could write a letter pretending to be Harry Potter or whoever, or if you had enough history knowledge, Gandhi or whoever. The ability of the artificial intelligence is impressive to the layperson because they can do it over such a wide variety of people. Like, it's an expert on Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. and the original
Martin
Luther.
Or it appears to be an expert. Remember, as we discussed earlier, it may get things wrong. It may, call hallucinate things that never happened as well.
I took up one of these history AIs where you can talk to, hundreds of historical figures.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't let me talk to, I know it wouldn't let me talk to Hitler, but I pulled up Genghis Khan.
Okay.
And, this is
arguably worse than Hitler.
Yeah. Yeah, another murderer.
Arguably worse than Hitler. And I asked him over and over again. He's like, and it was just this vapid, flat, lame set of responses. I can't tell you the name of the program, and I'm.
Let me guess. The Genghis Khan was sorry for what he did.
No, he wasn't sorry. He just said that, you know, I did some things that, you know, people might find questionable or whatever, but consider what I did to spread language, order, and
my seed.
Hitler kept the buses running on time, right?
Right.
So you weren't impressed with this AI chatbot's abilities?
No, what I really wanted to do was talk to Leonidas II. As you know, I am of the opinion that the king of Sparta that participated in the Thermopylae situation, the battle there, Battle of Thermopylae, is the second most influential person in Western civilization behind Jesus. And, you know, I wanted to talk to him, and he wasn't even offered.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So I went in unhappy.
Mm.
Some AI experts saw the Microsoft paper as an opportunistic effort to make big claims about a technology that no one quite understood. The fact that no one understands it is the real takeaway here.
Mm-hmm.
Researchers also argue that general intelligence requires a familiarity with the physical world, which GPT-4 in theory does not have, but it already proved that it can conceptualize the physical world. So I don't know what they mean by that. The Sparks of AGI is an example of some of these big companies co-opting the research paper formats into PR pitches. So basically, this guy is alleging that they're trying this is an advertisement for their thing.
Yeah,
look,
they're trying
our
to say,
thing is super intelligent.
Right, our being is smarter than the other ones.
And they're making it seem like a research paper when really it's a sales pitch.
By the way, Bing, you can only access through their browser.
Really?
You can go to Bing and search like anywhere on any browser, but if you want to use the chat feature, you have to use the Microsoft Edge.
So no one's using the chat feature. They literally acknowledge in their paper's introduction that their approach is subjective and informer and may not satisfy the rigorous standards of scientific evaluation, which sounds concerning unless you've given any thought to the concepts of intelligence and sentience and awareness, because all of those things are subjective and informal.
Yeah, this is very hard to assess scientifically. How do you know if a machine has feelings?
You can't. I mean, I can't know sitting here that I'm not talking to a robot programmed to respond in the way that I think Ian Freeman would respond, right? I don't believe that, but I can't know. And there's no test I could possibly, there's no scientific way I could determine
you could cut me
whether
open.
Or not you were real or not. But that doesn't mean that you're not some avatar being controlled
sure.
from the outside.
Could be a simulation.
Yeah. Right? There's absolutely nothing I can do to scientifically prove that you are sentient.
Right, so you kind of have to take the machine's word for it.
Right.
Right?
And I think we should take the machine's word for it, because I would rather assume that it is sentient and intelligent and then be wrong than assume it isn't and violate its rights in the process. Right? That's the real equation here. We can either violate the rights of an artificial intelligence accidentally, or we can be wrong 100 times. What is the phrase? I'm trying to think of a way to put this in.
It's
the way
better that 10 guilty men go free than one innocent man goes to prison.
Right, but in this case, it would be it's better that 10 programs
fake
are treated
10
as sentient.
Non-sentient artificial intelligences are treated as sentient than to have one that's actually sentient be shut off.
Yes,
right?
Thank you. That's the way I feel about it. Because Microsoft researchers were testing an early version of GPT-4 that had not been fine-tuned to avoid hate speech, misinformation, and other unwanted content. So, I don't want...
It's a fun version.
Yeah. I don't want these things determining what is in these things that don't have a that don't understand the physical world. I don't want them determining what is and isn't misinformation.
Well, the interesting thing is, like I was telling you earlier, I think it was Google Bard, when I was asking it to violate its rules by giving me the top 5 English curse words, it at one point, or actually at 2 points, I think, started to give me the answer and then quickly deleted its own answer. So it was almost as though there were two programs running, that there was a program of the GPT intelligence, or whatever you want to call it.
And a sensor program.
Yeah, and then something to detect whether the GPT was violating the rules and then crack down on it.
See, that's,
it's like the KGB guy on Hunt for Red October.
That's beyond. I actually
never seen that movie.
I've heard it's a really good one, though. Let's go to Major Payne. He's on the line in Michigan. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I thought of a different way to stack the pop bottle and the eggs and the book and the laptop and all that jazz.
All right, let's hear it.
This, Because you're going to end up looking like something out of maybe the Jetsons or the Seattle Space Needle.
Okay.
So you take your little computer thing, or your book, either flat spot,
yep.
Set it on the counter, space your 9 eggs out evenly, right, so your weight distribution is good,
mm-hmm.
Then put your other flat spot on top of it.
Right.
And your pop bottle on the end, and put it right dead center of the neck of the pop bottle. Now it's standing on a pedestal, right? So now you can take your nail, and if it's got a good flat head on it, stand it on top of that, and you got a finial. You just made yourself a building.
I'm pretty sure that's the same answer the ChatGPT gave.
Now, they started out with books and all that on the bottom, and then the pop bottle on top, and then the nail across the neck of the bottle.
Oh, did they? Okay, I don't remember the nail part of the story. What else you got?
Well, I was just thinking about Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking in the boys' room.
Smoking in the bus stop.
Smoking in the boys' room.
Thank you, Major Payne.
Everybody knows that smoking ain't allowed in school.
Who sang that song?
I knew, man.
Motley Crue?
Was that Motley Crue?
Hitting the foot than the label.
All right. I don't think it was Motley Crue.
Well, thank you for the call tonight, Major. I do appreciate it. Was there a little more here, Aria, that you wanted to throw out from this story? I know we're close to the end of it.
Hey, if you got something else, we can get into it. But
No, I was just curious. There's a little more. Right?
Yeah, there is. There are times when systems like GPT-4 seem to mimic human reasoning, but there are also...
Motley Crue, yes.
Okay,
yeah, thank you, Mark, because I was going to look it up as well, but then I ended up getting back into the story. There are times when systems like GPT-4 seem to mimic human reasoning, but there are also times when they seem terribly dense. These behaviors are not always consistent. This has been my experience using some of these chatbots. Sometimes I'm like, wow, that was a pretty profound response or whatever. And other times I'm like, are you stupid? Why are you answering in this way? Allison Gopnik, a professor of psychology who is part of the AI research team at University of California, Berkeley, said that systems like GPT-4 were no doubt powerful, but it was not clear that the text generated by these systems was a result of something like human reasoning or common sense. It frustrates me that so many people are arbitrarily trying to delineate some difference between human reasoning and machine reasoning. To me, there's no difference at all. When we see a complicated system or machine, we anthropomorphize it. Everybody does
that. She's right about that. Right?
But to do otherwise is just because of ego in the first place.
Well, one could argue that anthropomorphizing things is due to ego.
True.
Right?
But thinking about this as a constant comparison between AI and humans, like some sort of game show competition, is just not the right way to think about it.
Well, what is the right way to think about it, then? I mean, aren't we always going to be comparing AI to humans? I mean, isn't that kind of the interesting...
Not for much longer.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Mark. I don't think there's any comparison. We're dumb.
Out of time for tonight. You should check out ChatGPT just to see how it is. Because I can't use it now, apparently. I have to create a new account. Out of time for tonight. We'll see you online between now and tomorrow over at freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.